Well, welcome to Family Day. Young people, glad to see you here. Old timers, glad to see you here. My wife used to make a comment about how I was middle age, going on middle school. Notice I said used to. She might say that after today, too. Well, today, on this designated family day, here at the Feast of Tabernacles, I'd like us to focus us in as a family, where God has asked us all to gather together. This extended spiritual family is from all different backgrounds, all seated around the wonderfully appointed great dining table to partake of our spiritual meals together. It's not just us here. It's those who were mentioned in the announcements also who are joining us virtually. You have been invited, and you have a seat at the table that God has provided. The host of the family gathering sent out the invitations and put a seating plan together around the table for us. In turn, that great table at the end transitions over to a young people focused section. In physical terms, you know, we've most likely all been to a night to be much observed meal, or maybe a Thanksgiving meal where there's a special attention toward preparing an area where maybe they have crayons and paper placemats for drawing, maybe special colorful cups for smaller hands that are designed for those smaller hands to be able to grasp, maybe a sippy cup lid on one or two of those so that the beverages that are so yummy and tasty all end up where they intended. Somewhat like that, here today, God is the host of His family. And He has invited us all, old and young alike, to these great special Feast of Tabernacles meals, where young people are most certainly also a special focus for Him. Young people, God wants you to participate in and enjoy this feast. Whether you picture yourself fully at the kids' end of the table, or you're on the other end of the spectrum, maybe tilting towards being a little bit more involved with the adult end of the table, God wants to interact with you and give of Himself to you. He wants you to capture a vision of what these days picture. So in this message today that I've entitled God's Kingdom, Love It, Live It, and Leave It, we will discuss three simple and straightforward things we can all do now to live a more kingdom-centered life. And we'll have 3 points. Love it, live it, and leave it. Now, I wanted to ask the young people, are you willing to partner with me a little bit? If you're willing to partner with me a little bit, can I see a raise of hands from the young people? Oh, man, I got 1, 2, 3, 10. Okay, good. Whew. You were stressing me out. You know, it's tough being up here. Okay, I'd like us to have a little interaction, okay? Usually you're not allowed to holler in church, okay? When I was a kid, I always was like, my mom could tell you, she's here. I was a noisy little guy, right? There was a little bit of a struggle to keep me quiet. Well, you have, with approval of your parents, are we nodding with this that it's okay a little bit? All right. With approval of your parents, I'd like you to holler out the points as we go through them. Just one at a time, right? And, you know, please don't holler out of turn. If you're not asked to holler, please don't holler, because then your parents might get upset. And I don't want to generate any family strife here at the feast. So we'll start right off with the first thing we can do, and that's love it. So young people, this is your chance to holler out. On three, we're going to say love it. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I know you can do better than that. One more time, okay? And I can't hear you guys at home either. So if you're there and you're on the video, raise the rafters, okay? One, two, three. All right. Okay, I can work with you guys. This is good. All right. So love it. The first point, in meal terms, right? We're talking about a family meal here. In meal terms, we're talking desserts, right? This is the desserts. Who doesn't look forward to dessert? Raising a family on a single income, okay? God provided the job. God provided the income. My wife stayed home, homeschooled the children up until they hit about high school. There wasn't a lot of room in our budget, okay, during the year, the regular portion of the year, for desserts or soda pops or going out to dinner and that kind of stuff. In fact, we didn't eat out much at all. But when we did, you know, and parents, some of you parents can attest to this, in the car on the way and right before you go into the restaurant, you say, okay, you school the kids a little bit. And you say, okay, it's water, right? No soda pops. And don't think about dessert, okay? That's just off the table. Well, at the feast, right, there's a little bit more room for those kind of things. And, you know, we would tell our sons that, yeah, we're going to go to the feast, and it's going to be bounteous, and you can have, you know, your drinks at the restaurant, you can have dessert. And so, you know, needless to say, they did their homework, right? And they thought about these things that they wanted to have. And they looked forward to them, and they kind of gave us their targets of where they would like us to go and what they would like us to make available to them. And there were things like root beer floats, right, and chocolate sundaes and other things, right? And we always said, yes, whatever your heart desires, you can have it. Somewhat like dessert being the favorite part of a kid's meal, this Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures a time that all mankind would look forward to if they truly knew the plan of God and the love God has for them. Having this knowledge now, we should praise God for his plan of salvation toward all peoples. You know, it's not just a church thing. It's not just about us, right? We're in training, and this thing is going to spread out. And we can ask God to fill our hearts and minds with clearer and more vivid vision of that coming reality. Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And don't worry, young people, we got more stuff you can holler out, but just not yet. So stay with me, and you'll have your chance again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine it, is what it's saying. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So his Spirit, working with the words in his Bible, bring it to your mind, these things, aforetime. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. These things, the Scripture tells us, are revealed through God's Spirit. And it's those of us who are baptized, it's working in us. Young people, those of you who are exposed to this great truth and the Bible and knowing these things ahead of time, God's Spirit is with you. And it's also teaching you things. Also, we will recall that we are instructed in what is referred to as the model prayer. It's a template, right, of how we should pray, to ask God to bring his kingdom to this earth. This is what we're talking about at the Feast of Tabernacles, to fulfill what is pictured in our keeping this feast. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we do this, young and old alike, we show we desire God's ways to be implemented fully on this earth. Another passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only. So the writer here is saying, not to me only, but who else is included? But also to all who have loved his appearing. When we appear before God at the Feast of Tabernacles and we look forward to the institution of God's will and rule on this earth, we are looking forward and loving his appearing. There's a crown associated with that action, young people. Think about it a minute. If we truly love God and look forward to what his Son will bring to this earth when he returns and do our very best with God's help to live that way now, this scripture promises us, young people included, if you take that path, a crown of righteousness. Wow! A crown. What does that look like? What does that way, what does that path look like? Please turn to Psalm 16, and we're going to read a few verses there. I'm going to read about 11 of them. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And for you young people that haven't heard all my sayings that I might have said to many people many times before, and it's a good thing because I forget who I told what I said, right? So then I can say it again fresh and, you know, they laugh again. But the New Living Translation is a good name because any translation you're reading from of the scriptures should lead to new living, should change the way you approach your life. So in Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11, in this New Living Translation, it's a Psalm of David. It says, keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. And the older I get, the more I realize how true that statement is. Every good thing that we have comes from God. He is the giver of all good gifts. Verse 3, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. I look around here, people that were raising their hand for those 60 plus years, you're my hero. You've gone before. You've done some heavy lifting. You've made the path easier for me to follow behind you. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. So we're talking a little bit on the alternative there. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Verse 5, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Speaking of inheritance, you know, maybe some of you think, man, I'm going to line up and I'm going to have a house or some money or some cars or whatever, whatever you see people that might be older than you and your family have that they might leave you. The greatest inheritance that you can ever have in this life is pictured by these days we're keeping and the eighth day. The way of life that God wants people to live and that he will bring all people to, that is the greatest inheritance, a vision of that future reality. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Mr. Kiesel, thank you for that message you brought to us earlier. Your message reminds me of this passage where you had some rest after a while. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Again, that's what we're picturing. God's way of life, fulfilling every human heart's desires and driving forward how we will all be living. King David in this wonderfully communicates in this passage that we just read the hope of all the faithful pointing to the Messiah's victory. There is so much to love and be thankful for about God's kingdom and God's love for us to call us to be his first fruits in it. Okay, young people, point two. You ready? You ready? Okay, I see some nods. All right, good. Point two, live it. On three. One, two, three. All right, we're going to live it. Good. In meal terms, this is about appetizers. So we covered desserts, right? The first one. Now we're into the appetizers. It's kind of a little bit of reverse, right? But it's okay. Stay with me. It's going to work out here. Our love for God and the gift of the vision of becoming a part of his kingdom should affect how we live our lives now. In other words, we are to become the appetizers of the kingdom of God by living the way of life that attractively shows forth the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 10 through 14. Now I'm back in the New King James Version on this one. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And again, young people, you're here doing that. If you're soaking up what's being presented to you, you're doing what's being talked about here. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, the greatest inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. All that stuff that's going around out there, the bullies in the schools, the things that are happening out in society. He's delivered us from that and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Another tie-in here about how we're supposed to becoming appetizers is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be an appetizer for the kingdom of God. Stated another way, we are to be walking, talking, smiling examples of what it looks like traveling the road to life in God's glorious kingdom. Okay, we're on to point three. Young people, you ready again? Are you getting tired yet? Or you still got a little voice there? You need to take a little water? Are you okay? Okay, point number three. Leave it on three. One, two, three. Man, I love this partnership. This is good. In meal terms, this one is akin to something everybody loves. Leftovers. Leftovers. Now, I have quite a few thoughts on this one that I'd like to share under this point. I'll start out with a story. About 15 years ago, we were at the feast down in Southern California. It was the eighth day before that, we were kind of sad that it was all coming to a close and we're all going to have to go home. And, you know, that eighth day is tough, right? Everybody's like, we've all bonded so close. We've made new friends. We're doing everything and you just don't want to see it go. And I don't know if a lot of you are like me, but why can't we just go into the kingdom, right? I don't want to leave. I love the way of God's that he puts forth in the Feast of Tabernacles in the eighth day. And it's just like, just let me stay there with my brethren. Well, we had this big get together and we just decided to pile in the food and ask everybody and anybody who would want to come to show up. You know, we had people that had packed up and were ready to go on their way out of town. Say, hey, don't worry about it. Come on through, get a sandwich or whatever you want and spend a little time, eat it, take off, whatever, right? You spend as little or as much time as you want. And boy, did we have people show up. I mean, I'm not sure the establishment that we were staying at was enjoying all this, but, you know, we were taking chairs out of the pool area and putting them over by the front of our little place that we were staying at there. And, you know, we had food going. We had some guys, I think they were there from the military. There was a military base down there. And, you know, we were offering, you know, drinks and food. And those guys came over and they grabbed a couple of drinks and ate some food and stuff. It was good. I mean, everybody was there. Well, at any rate, the things kind of wrapped up and we still had a ton of food sitting there that, you know, people had brought the things that they weren't able to take home with them if they were flying, or they brought things to contribute to the meal. And, you know, we had this minivan and the whole back of the minivan was just filled with foodstuffs. So we said, okay, this is just wrong to let this all go to waste. So during that feast, on our ways to and from the hall, we had seen homeless people that, you know, down on their luck, not able to make ends meet, and they're just out there homeless. Kind of ties in with what Mr. Phelps brought to us in his message. And so we decided to take a drive and see if we could find somebody who could use this food. So we're driving around and, you know, we're out there for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes and we roll up on the backside of this facility and there's a fella on a bicycle digging through a dumpster. So we stopped and we asked him, hey, do you know anybody who could use some food? And we didn't ask him directly, hey, can you take this? But we asked him, do you know of anyone? And this, you know, he didn't know what to do with us at first. Let's just put it that way. There was a little bit of, what are you talking about? But then, you know, we popped open the hatch on the back of the car, and he come over and looked at it, and, you know, his eyes lit up, and he just said, absolutely, right? And so we said, okay, well, there's a lot of it, so, you know, where do you want us to take it? Or, you know, is there other people? He says, yeah, there's a whole camp that where I'm staying that we could use this food. So we offered to drive it over, and he says, no, outsiders aren't welcome, right? But I'll take the food. So we had some bags. We loaded this food up into some bags. And, you know, this guy's handlebars were draped with bags. He had bags hanging off of his backpack. He had them off of his belt loops. And he rode away with all this food on these bags. And he was, you know, you could just see the energy that he had of getting ready to share this bounty with the people that he was taking it to. Well, the point of this story, right, is not to just, you know, drive home the point Mr. Phelps was making, but it's so that we can consider the idea that even our leftovers from this spiritual feast that we're having can be life-changing and super impactful to others. And this spiritual food we've received at this feast so far and that we will continue to receive at this feast should fill us so that we have plenty to share with others. Load up their bicycles, people. Load them up. We should always be looking, right, for an opportunity to share from the bountiful table God has provided for us. You know, a couple of analogies. You know, I took a page out of Mr. Marini's book, his message. Let's call them visualizations, okay? To help us think about how this may be done. One visualization is breadcrumbs for the kingdom, right? Breadcrumbs for the kingdom. And this one has to do, I had a little dog And this dog, every time we got ready to go to church, you could just tell that dog wanted to go to church with us. He was energetic. He's like, let me get in the car. I want to go. And, you know, we have to tell him, nope, dogs aren't allowed at church. Sorry, right? And I think this dog, if he was able to quote scripture, this is the scripture he would quote. Mark chapter 7. Boy, wouldn't that be a trick to have a scripture-quoting dog? I'd be a bazillionaire if that was the truth. Mark chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's not the point he was trying to quote to me. It's this next part. Verse 28, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. So that was going to be his citation to get me to take him to church. Young people, these verses, and I think the context, shows to me that you have a part to play in passing along the sustaining nourishment of God's way to those who do not yet have a seat at the table here. What you are receiving is something that you have that God has given you, that you, just a couple of crumbs here and just a couple of crumbs there, the leftovers, can be life-changing and impactful to people that you know and people you come in contact with. You have a lot of life, too. Think about young people, right? You have a lot of life ahead of you. What will you do with that life that you have ahead of you? Have you considered that? I know it's kind of a heavy, deep question, right? But you're going to live, and you're going to do, and you're going to interface with people. What will you do with your life as you do these things? And I have a suggestion for you to consider from a short verse in the Bible from the book of Psalms. And I think it's a pivotal scripture. Psalm 23, verse 6. And young people, if you have access to a Bible, maybe if you don't have one, maybe your parents can put this in front of you so you can see it. Psalm verse 23 and verse 6. New King James Version I'm reading from. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Stay in the church. Stay close to the body of God, Jesus Christ's body. This is where life is. This is where the words of life are being preached. As a young person myself, I remember a feast in Squaw Valley. I can't remember how old I was. I was 8 or 9 years old. And a man gave a message about Revelation 21 and talked about tears being wiped away and no more sighing or crying or sorrow. And that was the day that I knew I wanted to worship that being. If he could really do that, he had my vote. This concept of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow here, there's a Strong's word for it, and it's pronounced radaf, radaf. And it's to run after. Like hunt down, chase, to put to flight, persecute or pursue. And this is a pursuit that we're talking about here. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me, is what's being said. And this is God that's pursuing an individual who wants to live his way of life, giving goodness and mercy to them. And we, if we are a recipient of that, should likewise look to pursue ways to take of that same goodness and mercy that God has given to us and share it. Give of our leftovers. Give of our leftovers. Another visualization is to be about planting seeds for the benefit of others. Now, young people, you can listen in on this one. It's not a bad one for you to hear. But this one is for us mature folks, right? Us mature folks. But, you know, I'm going back to middle school, so you guys are on your own, mature folks. We have some things to consider also here in this one. And I have a tree shade quote. A tree shade quote. How many of us have ever heard a tree shade quote? Oh, boy. It's good. I got one here for you. The tree shade quote is this. A society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. So if you're planting a sapling and you're an old person, you know it takes so many years for that thing to come up and fill out and so that it can provide shade to somebody, and you plant it and you know, I've only got so many whatevers, days. God's got my days numbered, right? If you're doing that, you're putting an investment into the future. You're doing something now for somebody else. As older folk, our young people need to see us doing these things, planting those spiritual saplings so that they know what it looks like as a pattern. You know, that's one thing. And that they can truly see our commitment to God's way, because that's what that will show them. There's a story in the Bible about something like this. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. So my point, you know, my little sub-point that I'd like to make here is that it's never too late to make those kind of impacts towards the future. Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9 in the New Living Translation. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob became Israel. Israelite nations are named after that gentleman. Okay. Verse 7, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles. And Gentiles is just a word for non-Israelites. Okay. Make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, what did he say? God said this, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Abraham planted seeds of righteousness. And then the Gentiles, those not under his lineage, many, many generations later, people he never knew, sat under the shade of what grew from those decisions. This is what we're talking about for all of us, young people included. What we are leaving behind to grow from our life choices and the interactions we have with people can be shade from the kingdom of God. It's a great privilege and an opportunity for us to know these things, gain the knowledge, be living them, practicing them in our lives, and then doing things that build towards the kingdom of God. That being that can wipe away every tear, that can put away death. He can make death die where it doesn't happen anymore. There will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying. He can bring this about, and you can be a part of it, young people. If we put our faith in Christ and act on it like Abraham did. What will the ultimate end of that promised blessing be? The answer is in the second half of what we read in Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. Again, a pivotal passage. We started off and said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then where do we go from there? "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the end result. In addition to profound gratitude and thankfulness to our great and loving God, another part of what our reaction must be as the blessed recipients of God's goodness and mercy pursuing us is that we are also to work, pursuing the goal to leave behind us part of that goodness and that mercy that He has so abundantly poured upon us. Having a positive impact, to be a good example, and a friendly face of the kingdom of God to all that we come in contact with. No pressure. No pressure. But we do represent a different way, a different kingdom, a different king than the society that we operate within today. And even to those we may not ever meet in this physical life, until we meet them and we find ourselves together alongside them in God's wonderful coming kingdom, which this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. So in conclusion, our 3 points from this meal, this message today. Young people, are you going to help me? Number one, 1, 2, 3, love God's kingdom. Number two, 1, 2, 3, live God's kingdom. Thank you. And number three, 1, 2, 3, leave God's kingdom. Leave a vision of God's way and His kingdom behind you. Love it, live it, leave it. With that, now it's your turn to set the table and host your own guests, young people.